I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS in the Scandling Center at Hobart and William Smith, and this is our Hobart Football Podcast for Game 7. The 5-1 Statesmen take on St. Lawrence Saturday at the Boz, joined by the head coach, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning, Ted.
I was a little surprised. We said before the game that in this day and age, wet weather isn't usually that big a factor anymore, but it was in this game. There were some snaps that were off and a few drops and bobbles here and there. Were the footballs not dry enough, or any particular reason why you saw that happen?
No, I mean, I think it definitely affected the passing game for both teams. And if you look around most of the Northeast, I think it was affected the offenses a little bit more than maybe some of us thought going in. I look back and we had some opportunities that, those inopportune snaps definitely hurt a couple of our drives going in. And I think that's something that we still could have controlled. So I don't know if that's 100% weather related or lack of focus in that moment with the adverse weather. But as we said, going in, it was going to affect both teams. And it was something we talked about with the guys on Friday night, expecting that weather. We talked about it on Saturday morning, before the kickoff. And then again, even throughout the game, was just who could control the adverse reactions to the weather. And I think both teams made some mistakes that other teams capitalized. And at the same time, I thought our mistakes hurt us, putting some points on the board that would have extended that lead a couple times. So, but again, what a hard-fought win. And the win feels good. Coach Greg grabbed me afterwards and really reflected on sometimes they're not always the most pretty wins. But at the end of the day, some of those hard-fought wins, tells you a lot about the character and the resolve of the guys that we have on our team.
You were probably more run-heavy in this game than you maybe have ever been in your career. Was part of that the weather? I mean, obviously, you can run the ball, but did the weather figure into that as well, and you figured this is a game that we're going to have to win on the ground?
Absolutely, and honestly, a part of it was how they were playing us. They stayed too high, one of the few teams this year. So if you look at it, we actually threw the ball more earlier in the weather. And again, we are a team that strives to be balanced, and a lot of it's going to be how teams defend us and where we have the best opportunities to be successful. And they stayed in a too high shell, even when we were in some tighter formations and getting the ball in the run game. So I think they were a team that has shown bend but don't break, and that's what their defense was trying to do. And they didn't take away the run. We took it away from ourselves, and we almost had 300 yards of offense against a really good defense, 300 yards of running, minus a couple of those snaps that come into the stats. But it was never at a point where I felt like we couldn't run the ball. And at that point, I also thought, they saw there was the fumbled snap with David earlier, and just the way that both teams, and actually on their end, they had a tough time really catching the ball in the wet weather. So I think for us, it was more a matter of how can we stay ahead of the chain, stay efficient. We were possessing the ball. We were driving the ball well. I mean, almost every single drive came down to a play on our end, more on their end. So it goes back to the execution in that weather that was a factor of it. But no, I think going in, we had planned on it and expected that to be more of a balanced offense. But what they were giving us, whether that was a 85-degree and sunny day or a wet day, was they were giving us the run. We just had to capitalize it a little bit better.
When you did throw the ball, it was a short passing game, an accurate passing game. David Cruz and his passes. Is that what we're going to see as teams play those deep zones and look to take away the long ball? Are we going to see more of that underneath passing game?
Well, I think the vertical passing game was what was affected the most in that, just operations and whatnot. So I think play calling wise did adjust to the weather a little bit more, but we're going to try to attack the entire field as we always do, but horizontally stretch teams as much as it will be vertically. Unfortunately, we missed a couple blocks on the perimeter. I think it's a week-to-week approach, and St. Lawrence this week is going to give us a different shell and different coverages, so I think you'll see different things in the passing game. But I was actually surprised in the flow of the game that they weren't trying to stop the run more. I mean, they were putting linebackers up there, they were moving the front, but they kept those two safeties high, and I think that was more that's who RPI was. And so again, I think that's why it ended up being skewed a little bit more in the run game for this game.
Your only touchdown came on a Wildcat with Rayshon Boswell. You've used mostly him, a little bit of Denham in the Wildcat. What is it about Rayshon that you really like out of that Wildcat?
Well, it's really gone week to week. Tim had the operations going into the Ithaca game. I think it's creating matchups. A lot of it is just opportunities and what plays we're going to run out of certain formations. So we've really gone, we have our Hobart package and our Statesman package, which the Hobart package is for Rayshon, Statesman package is for Tim, and we have a couple different formations out of it. But it comes down to the fronts and defensive that coverages and fronts that we're facing, and that kind of ultimately determines who's going to get some of those touches. But both of those guys are equally adept to run any of those, and same time it could be David. David was just coming off of some bumps and bruises that we didn't want to run him as much in this game, and again just trying to put the ball in the hands, and at that point trying to really take away one factor of a fumbled snap or anything else as much as we could in that weather.
Earlier in the season, a lot of times in the Wildcat, you'd split David out. In this game, you took him out. Is that to save him from injury potential or to just show the opponent some different looks?
It was partly to give him. I mean, every game we're going to give some teams some different looks. It also gives us one extra blocker potentially. And again, I think that's what actually gave us some really good looks was that formation that gave us the ability to run both directions. And again, David's an adept blocker. We're not worried about injury there. It was just a look that we had prepared. I wasn't expecting to use it that much in that game, and just the way the flow of the game evolved, it ended up being a pretty good set for us.
One of the things that impresses me about Rayshon especially, but Tim Denham as well, is their ability to read the hole and change the hole. So many times this year, they'll start a run to a certain hole, it's not there, and they'll cut back. That must be a good look for him or for either running back out of the Wildcat, because you take that snap and you can really see that whole blocking scheme in front of you.
Absolutely. And that's the benefit of that package, why we've put it in the last couple of weeks, is to get it in their hands sooner and allow them to almost make the offensive line and the tight ends right based on how defenses are flowing. So RPI really tried to over-pursue. They were cranking and shifting because of what we had done the week before against Ithaca. Again, on video, they had prepared for it. And on that touchdown run, they actually over-pursued, and he pressed up into it. And, he's got an opportunity, both he and Tim, when they press that foot in the ground to strike it vertically. So good patience, good vision, and, again, I think it's a really a tribute to the guys. They were covering some guys up front, the O-line, the tight ends. It was a, whether it was a 4-yard run, whether it was a, the 49-yard run, I mean, I think we had some opportunities, and I think that's where we were looking back on Sunday, to extend that to a 2-3 possession game, and we just, for various reasons, just didn't. And I think that's the part that, after the win, we felt solid about the win, but we know we got to go back to work and got to get a little bit better this week.
I think when you play RPI, you're always looking to stop the big play. Their biggest gain from scrimmage was 10 yards.
How about that? Yeah. And honestly, I think our defense was playing so well that kind of ultimately led into, and I said this to the team afterwards, I was a little bit more precautious towards the tail end of it because it was going to be a negative play that was going to hurt us. And unfortunately, their two scoring drives came from special team blunders. And, that's the flow of that game. That was one of the other things that I thought we had some opportunities that if we could have stretched that earlier. And, we didn't have many possessions. We possessed the ball. We had a significant advantage in the time of possession. But those drive killers on our end prevented that game from really being opened up because our defense was playing lights out. And they were a very good passing offense coming in. And to their credit, they had to run the ball a little bit more than pass it. It was just one of those games. But our defense... other than that, when the short field, I think it was a 7-yard drive, from the fumbled punt, things that we couldn't control. And then, unfortunately, the blocked punt there gave their other possession on a short field. And, again, defense had a chance to stop them. And then they came up with some big special team plays throughout that game.
I know it was a rainy day, but I was just surprised. Were you surprised? They didn't take any deep shots down the field. I think they maybe threw one ball of 20 yards or so. I kept bracing myself for that big bomb that was coming at some point, and it just never did.
Yeah, and they had shown it coming in, the ability to throw the ball deep. And I think that's where the wind and the weather did have an impact, because I know on our end we weren't calling many of those, so I'm assuming they had the same effect on their quarterbacks. They had more drops, I think, at the receiver position. Whether it was a drop by the receiver or the wind, the weather, whatever it was, they kind of affected their passing game early on, which then ultimately then affects play calling after that. So, we were waiting for some things, and I think it's a combination of we were able to get some pressure early on, so maybe they didn't think they had the time for it, or maybe based on our coverages. But again, in a game like that, all 11 guys and the various combinations that we put in there on defense, they played really hard, played really resilient ball, and I think that was also a tribute to them not being able to give up that big play.
The wind can be a little tricky at the Boz. I think it was a little more maybe than it looked like from up above. I thought that your field goal that missed was affected by that, and the wind kind of picked up from left to right there at one point more than it might have looked from the flags.
Absolutely, and it was funny. Right when we, I'd say funny, not funny because we missed it, but right when we were end of the third quarter going to the fourth, we had a chance. We were driving again, field position, and unfortunately, I talked to our kicker, Rob, afterwards, and I think he tried to overcompensate for the wind, and you know, he didn't need to, but in that moment, yeah, it did pick up. And it was the second half. The first half was more wet and rainy. The second half, the wind became more of a factor. And not, we've played in worse conditions, but I think to enough where it did affect Rob and his thinking on that operations.
You had a fake punt with Kiernan Hamilton. It looked like the man was open. Gavin Booty just underthrew it a little bit. Does that go back to why, you know, we were kind of surprised to see him come in earlier in the season? Was that partly to show that, because you can't just bring a guy out for the fake, or everybody knows, oh, he's the faker.
Yeah, well, he's actually our second punter. His operations are faster than Toby, so in some situations we'll use him for just getting it off quicker. And like I said, he's able to punt, but that also gives us the ability for him to throw it. It was actually Blake Hansen who was wide open, and that's again, another situation. I think of our nine drives, I look back on it just execution-wise, and that's a play that he's made 1,000 times, and I think he was open, and I think in the moment maybe he got a little tight with the arm and underthrew it a little bit, but thought it was the right time based off of what we had seen to go for it, and at the same time not give up a short field for our defense. That's a lot of my decisions were, because our defense was playing so well, was to make sure that we were going to try to give RPI as long of a field as possible, at the same time be aggressive, and I think that's where, if we're going to be a great team, we had opportunities to really extend that to a 2 or 3 possession lead, and then that ultimately would have affected how RPI could have attacked us on defense.
You've been a tremendous third down team all year on both sides of the ball. Is that something you emphasize and talk about during the week?
We've spent a lot of time on it, and this goes back to preseason. We did a lot of scenarios where we were in those third and medium, third and shorts, third and long, trying to really practice game situations as much as possible. And I think on offense, a part of that is the ability to run the ball has put us in more workable third downs, and we haven't been in as many third and longs. You know, one of the disappointing parts for me as a coordinator was we had a 3rd and 1 and we fumbled the snap. Like, just little things that, again, you know, so, but we were in the right position. So I think our efficiency could have even been better than it was. You know, and you talked about that missed field goal. We had a 3rd and 4 and, you know, we missed a block, and ultimately everything else looked good. We finished there. So I guess the perfectionist in me says, you know, we want to get better at it, but it has been really good to be efficient on 3rd down. It's allowed us for some situations to consider 4th down, or what we're doing is we're winning time of possession and we're putting a fresh defense out on the field. And I think at the end of the day, points matter, but also I'm old school in the thinking of time of possession, a fresh defense. Like, we're going to try to win all 3 phases, and sometimes those fast offenses that go tempo, tempo, tempo is putting an entire defense out on the field. I think we've been trying to complement that and give our defense a long field and fresh bodies, fresh legs, so that when they're out there, they can play aggressive and attack.
When we think about at least a couple of games where you had neither Ford nor Aguilar, it's a credit to the depth of your defense that it played so good during that time. But, boy, it's great to have those guys back. They just is. Can you coach having a nose for the ball, or is that instinct? It just, especially Ford. I mean, the ball carrier gets the ball, and there he is.
Yeah, there's certain guys, and you can work certain situations. So, like, we see some young guys that they're going to get better as their careers go on. But, you know, from my opportunities early on, seeing Brian at a young age and Emmett at a young age, there's just certain guys who have that innate sense for being around the football. And those two guys have it, along with some other guys on our defense. And we look for it in the recruiting process. We coach it. We try to work on certain skill sets. But some guys you either have it or you don't, and those guys have it. And we're a better defense, no doubt, when those two guys are out there flying around.
Secondary coverage has been great. On their touchdown, it was hard for me to see way over in the corner. Did their guy just rip it away from Jared Leake?
Yeah, I mean, Jared was in really good position. And obviously, that's the battle of their one of their best receivers, a big, strong kid. And then, obviously, Jared, our best corner right now. And it was he was in great position. You could argue he had a chance to intercept it or knock it away. And their guy kind of wrestled it away. And it was like almost a wrestling match at the bottom to make sure who came up with it and was he in bounds. But, you know, their guy made a very good play in that situation. And, you know, earlier in the game, Jared had the interception. So, you know, credit to them for going after their best guy. And you know, it was a good matchup, and it could have easily been an interception or knockdown, but their kid came up with it. And, it was a really good coverage, so it wasn't like he wasn't in a good position.
We always talk about the depth, especially in the D-line. You keep rotating those guys in. I mean, Isaiah Williams, who doesn't play all that much, came in, and one of his very first plays, he gets in on a sack.
Yeah, he's been a guy that, young, and he's had, some things on and off the field as he's trying to adjust to the college atmosphere as a young student, but he has a really good upside. We like his quickness, and we put him in a couple situations where he can use that. Right now, he's a little bit better in the pass rush than defending the run, but he's getting better at that as well. So, yeah, I think it was a good opportunity to put in some fresh legs and a quick body in there, and he was able to make a nice move and get that tackle for loss and sack.
Just playing RPI was like playing a D1 team. I think they had 50 guys or something that were fifth years. So how does the eligibility work? Is there another year for anybody who missed? For example, you got your two junior running backs. Do they have one more year left, or could they get two?
So last year, through all NCAA, no one used the year of eligibility. So what it comes down to is, being a non-athletic scholarship school, there's going to have to be, we have the ability of our master's program here to stay on in a fifth year. Some guys are choosing opportunities to maybe take a semester off or internship. I mean, that's the great thing about Hobart, is you have so many opportunities to advance your career and education while still advancing your athletic eligibility. So, that's going to be coming into play in a couple weeks for senior day, is who's truly a senior, who's playing their last year, and then who's really a senior that might be playing another year. We're having conversations individually with each one of those families on what works best for them. But, yeah, the exciting part is, there's a handful of our guys that I think are really strongly considering using that extra year of eligibility and just being creative with their academics, making sure that it financially and time-wise makes sense for their career moving forward and their families. But there's a lot of academic opportunities here to better themselves while still advancing their athletic career. So we're hoping some guys will strongly consider that.
So you got to call some of those guys in the business world on Wall Street and say, hey, hang on, don't offer the jobs quite yet.
Well, we've had some great offers so far, and it's going to be some tough decisions for our guys, because they're going to be making a lot more money than I'm ever going to see. So I don't fault them on that. But I think fundamentally, if they love the process of being a part of our family and being a student athlete, if I was in their shoes, I would strongly consider it. You're going to work the rest of your lives, and having this opportunity to be at a special place at the right time and supported the way we try to support our guys. And the good news is, talent-wise, we're only going to get stronger and better as we add this through. So I think we are heading in the right direction, and I think some of these younger guys, whether they're seniors or the sophomores and juniors, might consider that extra year of eligibility.
Here's St. Lawrence, another team that's got a lot of veteran guys. It seems like they always play a pretty hard-nosed style, and they always seem to play above their record. You come into games with them thinking you got it under control, and it's another tight game. How do you see this year's version of the Saints?
Yeah, this is going to be, you look at them, they're on both sides. Again, another team similar to RPI that's all seniors, fifth-year seniors, very few first-years and sophomores mixed in there. So I think it's going to be a really good test for us. They've had got off to a really strong start. They were 3-1, playing really well and scoring a lot of points, and then they've played two strong opponents in the league, tough. I mean, those games have been really close early on, and I think I know coming in that they're going to come in confident. They're going to come in with experience and poise, and they've played us hard the last couple times we played them, so we expect the same this year.
Everybody's playing pretty well. Is there, I hate to put the emphasis on any one part of the team or one part of the game, but is there any area that you really think you need to focus on in terms of improvement right now?
Well, I think the improvement, it really is all three phases. We left too many special team plays out there, and that's uncharacteristic of us. I think some of those were operations-based plays, and never singling out one individual, but there was a couple individual letdowns in those plays. So we've definitely tried to focus on our special teams again, and a lot of it's execution. We had things that were there that we didn't hit on, or the fumbled punt, things that we hadn't done. I'll chalk that up to, all right, we can make a mistake, but let's get better from it. I think defensively, they're going to be tested this week with a senior quarterback, all senior offensive linemen. A lot of their skill guys come back. So, St. Lawrence is, they're good. They're going to throw it around. They're going to chuck it around. And quick game. So they're going to get the ball out quicker than maybe RPI did, while still being a pass offense. And they're more efficient right now running the ball than they have been in years. So St. Lawrence will be a good test for us on our defense. And then I look at what they're doing. They're not giving up many points. Similar to RPI, right now there's four or five teams in our conference that are giving up maybe a touchdown a game. St. Lawrence is one of those. So I know it's going to be a challenge for us, and I think if anything, our offense has to show that we can play 60 minutes. We haven't played a full 60 minutes yet, and I think that'll be the challenge that we're going to try to put out there. at the same time, unfortunately, we're not having all of our guys being able to practice. So I think the part of the RPI situation was a direct correlation to how we practice and who was able to practice, which those in the stands and those watching might not know everything that we know that goes on. That affected some of the performances that are out there. We know at this point in the season everyone's banged up, so we're not even talking about injuries. It's just the ability to practice and have the right guys getting the necessary reps to go out and execute on Saturday. That's been our focus this week, and they're going to be a team that's going to – this team will really bring the extra guy down and it's going to challenge our run game. So I think it's going to be opportunities in the passing game. And if you look at that 2019 game, we played them. Yes, we had some plays in the run games, but it was Ryan Hoffman with a couple of those senior receivers making some big opportune plays at the right time when we needed it in that game passing-wise. And I think that's why – hopefully this week we'll get back to a much more balanced attack going against the St. Lawrence defense.
When you talk about special teams execution, I mean, you saw how important it is at the end of that game. The snap was off. I mean, the holder did a heck of a job. He reached all the way around behind his body to try to grab it and put it down, but it threw the timing off, and you get the block and you get the win.
Absolutely, and a tribute to our defense. They were close on the field goal earlier, and they were talking on the sideline, and C.J. Calera, like, people are going to talk about the hold. He was able to really split the defender. So it's operations time. We know that. But it's also effort. And I think a combination of those went in. And that's why we say every play matters. And, you can say it, but if the guys don't fall through on it, that's just a tribute to that unit not giving up. You know, they could have been down after, giving up a really contested touchdown catch. But they're on to the next play, ready to go. And that was obviously a huge swinging point to making sure that wasn't a tied ball game.
Well, you are controlling everything you can control, which is just win the games and see where the chips lie. Best of luck on Saturday.
That's what we're trying to. Thanks, Dad.
All right, Coach Devin DeWall of the Statesman. Follow the Statesman on social media. You can follow them on Instagram and on Twitter, at Hobart Football. HWSathletics.com is the website for all the latest news. And, of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, for Coach Ted Baker, saying have a great football day.